want to again greet you this morning in the precious name of Jesus. I'd like for you to take your Bibles this morning and turn to Job chapter 1. I've titled my message this morning, There Was a Man Named Job. And I don't know how many of you have ever dug into the book of Job. I started to, and I've got a long ways to go yet. But I found that the blessing of looking at another man's life in Scripture is something that we can, may I say, claim for us today. As I read through Job, as I looked at the book of Job, there's a guilt that set in because I haven't been like Job. But then as I continue to read, I come to realize that we are in different walks in our life, and I've shared this here before. We're in different walks in our life. God uses us exactly where we're at. If you're at the same place a year from now, July 3rd, 2017, then you're not growing. Then you're not allowing God to use you. When my children eat and I see they're not growing, something's wrong. Somebody's sick. Let's go to Job 1, verse 1. I'm going to read here about Job. Hopefully we'll be able to see a little bit what Job was made of. Many times we look at Job and we say this is a whole book about patience. I want to challenge you with a different thought this morning. Think about Job as we go through here and about the sovereignty of God. Job 1, verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, everyone his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were going about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. We're going to stop there for a bit. He was a man who was perfect. Can you and I be perfect today? I asked that question to somebody this week. Actually, I think they asked me that question. Can we be perfect today? If you were to go ask my family, my family would probably tell you, no, Dad's not perfect. Dad has responded in anger from time to time. He's really goofed up different times. He's even responded negatively to his wife from time to time. I love my wife dearly. I love my kids. They would probably say, no, Lynn's not perfect. My dad's not perfect. But can I tell you this morning, as you walk with Christ, as you're committed to following Him, as you're committed to worshiping Him every day, and allowing the Scriptures to speak into your heart, and walk with Him in that way, you can be perfect. You can be perfect. I get chills when I think about that. In God's eyes, we can be perfect. We can be complete. We can be whole. That doesn't mean we're not growing. We're still growing. Satan would like us to think that we cannot be perfect.
He wants us to think that we're full of sin, that we're just a bunch of losers. But in God's eyes, you can be perfect. Job was a man that he says was perfect. He was upright. He feared God, and he eschewed evil. Proverbs 8:13 says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil." How much do I hate evil? Actually, there's another word I wanted to look at here first. He eschewed evil. That's hate. I'm not laying my eyes on what I wanted to say here. Here we go. Romans 12:9. Let love be without dissimulation, without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. Abhor means to detest utterly. I can tell you something that I abhor, something that I absolutely hate with a passion. That's onions. Onions and garlic. When you have fresh onions and fresh garlic, I hate it. There's nothing that turns my stomach as much as that. My daughter came around the other day with a fresh onion out of the garden, eating it like an apple, I guess. That's disgusting, sorry. That's terrible. I abhor onions and garlic. They're detestable to me. I don't even want to get close to them. Friends, do we take sin that way? Do we take sin to where we don't want to even get close to it? There's no little line where we see how close we can get before we fall off of the edge. We stay away from it. We stay on the path that the Father has laid out for us. It's so easy for us to give in just a little bit because it just feels good. Detest utterly. Cleave to that which is good. That's the opposite. Hang on to. Tie yourself in with. Join to that which is good. This was the kind of man I believe that Job was. He was a family man. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He was a very wealthy man. Look at verse 3. His substance also was 7,000 sheep. How many of you here this morning have 7,000 sheep? How many have 100? Okay, we have different things. We've got acreages where we have grain. We've got tractors. Yes, we have wealth also. But Job was a very wealthy man. He had a very great household. Excuse me, so this man was the greatest of all the men in the East. And we'll see later on where it says that God blessed him. That's the reason he was who he was. And his sons went and feasted in their houses. We don't read that it really says that there was any sin going on, but yet Job had a fear. I don't know if I want to say a fear, but a caution, a love for his family. He would offer burnt sacrifices according to his children, just in case they sinned. Am I that cautious about sin that maybe if I'm not even sure, I want to make sure that I'm in good standing with God, that I'm walking carefully with Him? This was the kind of man that Job was. Let's go on to verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. I'm not sure how all this worked, but the New Testament would tell us that Satan, we'll see a little bit later here, God asked a question. The Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" And then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, from walking up and down in it." We see a little later on where it talks about in Scripture in the New Testament how that Satan is as a roaring lion. Going out to see who he can destroy, who he can devour. Satan was busy. God asked, "Where you been?" Then God does something. "Why did you do this, God?" In verse 8. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job? Job is following God very closely. And it's like God is taking him out here and dangling him in front of Satan and says, look at this man. Have you considered him? He's a godly man. There is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Do you think, God, that he's doing this for nothing? He's got reasons for walking with you. Hast thou not made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Job is telling God that you've done this. You've blessed him. That's why he's loving you. He's got reasons for it. Then Satan says, but put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. I would so much rather see this where God said, no, he's mine. You don't touch him. But look what God says there in verse 12. Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went from the presence of the Lord. Again, we see God's sovereignty here. Satan would like to go out and destroy Job, tear him apart. God said, you can so far, only so far as I tell you, you can go. That's as far as you can go. You can touch his things, but you cannot touch him. Let me ask you a question this morning. Would God allow that to happen in your life and mine? To come touch our things. To remove our things from us. What would my response be? I'll give you a little example. You may laugh at me for this one. I was living at a place where I had a neighbor that farmed. He was out in his field one day and he was having problems. So I went out and I talked to him. I asked him what's going on, and he told me, he said, you know what, I could use a vice grip. A vice grip would hold this little piece in place. And I think I could finish doing what I'm doing. So I went and I got him one of my good, you know, the vice grip brand vice grips. They don't bend easy. You can buy all kinds of vice grips, and they're not vice grips. But if you buy the vice grip brand one, they're vice grips. They're good. So I took it out to him. I gave it to him, and he put it on his tool, and as far as I know, it's still there. You know what? That little vice grip caused issues for me. That was one of my things. This man kept my vice grip. We look at that, and we laugh. I know. It's a tiny, tiny little thing. Verse 13, and there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking in their eldest brother's house, and there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing, and the asses feeding beside them, and Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, and they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and hath carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped to tell thee things. God allowed these things to be destroyed. But that's not where it stopped. Verse 18, while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house. And it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. I don't know how many of you have probably all heard about this accident in Colorado last Sunday morning. A family is driving to church. The train hits them and they're all killed but one little 4.5-year-old girl. I can't imagine what the church is going through this morning. The loss that they're feeling. Job lost everything but his wife. Everything he had was gone but his wife. All his children, he had 10 children, they were gone. God, how can you be good? Let's look at Job's response. And I ask you this morning, what would your response be if this happened in your family? What would your response be if God took a little bit from you? Just a tiny bit? Maybe not even the family? Verse 20. Then Job arose and rent his mantle. And that talks about tearing part of their cloak. That talks about not feeling whole anymore. He shaved his head and he fell down upon the ground and worshipped. You see, when the people of God that are really walking with God find that God comes in and He does a cleansing in their hearts, and He helps them to realize that they are nothing outside of God, that creates worship. He says, he fell down to the ground and worshipped. Do you think Job had worship before this? Job had a close relationship with God. How close is my relationship with God this morning? Is it so close that should God do something like this in my life that I would fall to my knees, I would fall on my face, and I would worship? Job said in verse 21, he said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. I would say Job had enough. God, you've done enough. But then we go to chapter 2. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, "From whence comest thou?" And Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And still he holdeth his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause." It's like God's putting him right back out there again. Look, he still hasn't given in. He's still serving me. He still loves me. Is my faith that strong? And Satan answered the Lord and said, "Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath he will give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face." God, if you just touch his body, we've touched all his children, we've touched all his things. If you touch his body, that's as far as he'll go. He'll break. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life." You cannot kill him, but you can touch him. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. I don't know if you can imagine the pain that went with those boils from the top of his feet to the bottom, top of his head to the bottom of his feet. And then it tells us later on in history that the boils that Job had didn't smell so great. It talks about worms being in those boils. Can you place yourself in Job's place here? Here he was, a man that was honored and respected in the city. He sat at the gates. All of a sudden, he's a man that's pushed aside. He has nothing. He's full of boils that stink. They have worms in them. Isn't it about time where he gives up on God? Let's go to verse 9. Actually, let's not miss verse 8. And he took a potsherd, which is a piece of pottery, to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him in verse 9, "Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." I was really harsh with his wife for a while there. "What's wrong with you? I need my companion to stand with me." But did you realize she lost 10 children? She, right with Job, lost everything that they had. Can we blame her for telling Job, "You know what, you face so much, just let it go. Die. Curse God and die." But he said unto her, now listen, he didn't tell her, "You're a fool." Catch this as we read through this. But he said unto her, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What, shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil?" In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? You see, we have this idea as a Christian people, and this is a big teaching today. If you're a Christian, there's prosperity. Everything good is going to happen. There's some preachers today that will preach that if you have issues happening in your life, you're not walking with God. Was Job walking with God? Yes, he was. He was perfect. Why does God sometimes take us and break us to pieces? What is his reason for this? I want you to think a little bit about a rose petal. We take a rose and we like to cut that and we smell it, and they smell really, really good. But what happens when God, or when you take a rose petal, you start tearing those petals off, and then you take them in your hands and you squish them? What happens? There's a fragrance that comes off of that that is beautiful. What happens when God takes you and I and He crushes us and we remain faithful? There is a sweet fragrance that goes back to God. There is an honor that goes to God. And sometimes when He's got us broken where we need to be, then He has the opportunity to put us back together. I challenge you this morning, have you allowed God to break you? Have you come before Him and asked Him to just break what's in your heart so you can understand more what He wants of you? It's not fun. It's not a fun thing to be broken. But I'm going to challenge you, if you become broken and you allow God to put you back together, you've got something that you've never had before. Maybe we'll call it God glue. I think of a vase. When you drop a vase, it goes into all kinds of pieces. If you allow the one who made that vase, the one who formed that vase, to take his glue and to put it all back together, you have a strong vase. When God takes you and He breaks you, and He does a work in your heart, then He puts you back together. And He makes all things new. Matter of fact, He says He gives you a new heart. We're still in the same old body, the same old vessel, but He gives you a new heart. Let's go back to Job chapter 42. I want us to look. We're skipping a whole lot here, I know that. We're skipping a whole lot in between these chapters, and I'm really hoping to come back, and I'm not sure how many messages this is going to go into. But we're going to go to the end. We're going to cheat a little bit. We're going to go to the end here in chapter 42, and we're going to see what Job's outcome was. Job has a lot of conversation with four men, actually. And then also God throughout the chapters here in the middle. But then here he comes in chapter 42. And Job answers the Lord. And this is what he says. I know that thou canst do everything and that no thought can be withholden from thee. God's sovereignty. Job is realizing God's sovereignty. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understand not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself, and I repent in dust and ashes. Job is coming to the place where God's going to put him all back together. Let's go to verse 11. Then came there unto him all his brethren, and all his sisters, and all they that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house, and they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep, and 6,000 camels, and 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. And he had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he called the name of the first Jemima, and the name of the second Keziah, and the name of the third Keren-Hapuk. And in all the land there were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job. And their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. After this, Job lived 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons, even 4 generations. So Job died being old and full of days. Job served an awesome God. Job served the same God we serve. He is an awesome God. I want us to think about God for a bit here. Or Jesus, rather. Job gave up so much earthly things. But I want us to think about Jesus. Leaving heaven. Leaving from being beside his Father. Coming down to this earth, giving up everything that he had in heaven for a while. To gain what? To gain his children. So he can take them back and present them to the Father and say, here, this is yours. That's the awesome God that we serve. That's the God that we have the opportunity to spend our eternity with. Job realized who this God was. No, Job was way before Jesus came and gave his life. He was way before the priesthood. He was way before any kind of law was given. But he served an awesome God. God has not changed. That's still the God that we serve. I guess I just challenge you this morning. Are you willing this morning in your walk with God to give him everything, even if he asks for things that are way beyond what you can imagine? Is my faith and my confidence so great in God? Do I believe in his sovereignty that I'm willing to give him everything I have, not holding anything back, but giving him my all? Let's stand for prayer. Father, we thank you this morning for the story of Job. And Father, I confess this morning that I really don't want to face anything like what Job faced. I don't like when my things get messed up on this earth. But Father, I thank you for the promise that you've given to us, that you're always going to be with us. You've promised us an eternity. Lord, and life here is so short compared to eternity. Help us, Father, to keep in perspective what life is and to realize that you are sovereign. To realize, Father, that life is about you, not about us. Would you bless us this morning? Would you speak into our hearts, Lord? Would you help us to be committed, Father, to allowing you to break us so you can put us back together again? We bless you, Lord. We love you. Dismiss us now with your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.